Okay.
965.
Yeah, 964, 965. Yeah. Okay. So that's it. So we'll start here. Okay. 964.
964.
964, yeah. Okay. So the pasuk that we are going to be doing is all the way to the bottom. It's pasuk Lamed Hey, which is verse 35. Okay, so let's see what it says here. It says in verse 35, in the Hebrew, it says, Ata haresa ladas, ki Hashem hu ha'aleikim, ein oid milvatai. And in the English, as it reads, you have been shown in order to know that Hashem, He is the God, there is none beside Him. This pasuk is famous because we actually say it on Simchas Torah. I don't know if you remember, it's the first of the, you know, before we do the Hakafis, they start, you know, with all those psukim, and this is the first of those psukim. And it's Ata Haresa Ladas, it's like oh, with a big, you know, with a big emphasis. It's what does it say? It doesn't sound like it's saying anything, you know, there's many psukim, but this really encapsulates so much of how we relate to God and how God relates to the world. So to speak, and almost identifying the role, if you want to say, of what God does in the world. Why? So just on a very simple level, if you look at the pasuk, it says, first of all, it says, you have been shown. So in a minute, we'll see what that means, because, I mean, you can't see God. Oh, I forgot to make it. Oh, I hope it doesn't make trouble. I forgot to do something here. I'm really sorry. I have to be able to mute everybody. Let me just see if I can do it like this. Sorry about that. No, I don't know. It's not. Okay, mute all. Otherwise, I'm going to have noise in the background. Okay. Hopefully it'll work. Sorry. Okay. So first you have shown. So that's an interesting question because we don't see God. What does it mean you have been shown? And what have we been shown? What does it say in the pasuk? It says that you have been shown in order to know that Hashem, He is the God and there is none beside Him. Now, if you look into the Hebrew words, because that's really where you can understand it more, it says, Hashem hu ha'elokim. Hashem hu ha'elokim means you're taking two names of God, the Yud-Ke-Vav-Ke, and then Elokim is the other name of God. So we are saying that the Yud-Ke-Vav-Ke is the same as Elokim. Well, what does that mean? Obviously, it's one God. We all know we only have one God. So in a minute, we'll have to understand what that means. And then it's not as if that's not enough. It has to emphasize there is nothing beside Him. Okay? Now, 1 minute, because we're going to come back. I want to just show you one more pasuk, which is very similar. Go to the next page, because we'll do them together. And I'll show you the next pasuk. Very famous also on page 966. Pasuk Mem, verse 40, I think. Or no, it's verse 39. The Adai Tahayim, so it says, and you should know today, Vahashevaisa Elvavecha, and you shall like place it on your heart. How does he say it here in the English? 39, and you shall take it to your heart. What should you know and what should you take to your heart? Ki Hashem hu ha'alekim. So it's repetitive, right? Hashem is God, right? And what do we say about him? In this pasuk, we say it even a little more detailed. Bashamayim mima'al, in the heavens above, va'al ha'aretz mitachas, and in the earth below, ein oid, there is no other. So it seems similar. It's again emphasizing that Hashem hu ha'alekim, again emphasizing that you have to know and that you have to take to heart, and again emphasizing that there's nothing else besides for God. Okay, so that's on a simple level. So we have to understand what's this pasuk adding. But before we understand what it's adding, let's even understand on a simple level, what is it talking about here? Because, you know, we had this week's the Ten Commandments, and the first of the Ten Commandments says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, right? I am Hashem, your God. And you shouldn't have any other God, right? So there's one God, you shouldn't have any other God. So what is this pasuk talking about? So again, just to put in context, to remember that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's final speech. So in a certain way, he is repeating. Because he's repeating all the concepts that the Jewish people have to know now that they're finished their time in the desert and about to enter the land of Israel. And these are basic Jewish principles, which is what guides us as Jewish people, to know that there is one God, but not only to know, as we're saying, via daita, the word das is a real, deep, intimate knowledge. It's where you know without any shadow of a doubt. It's almost like when you know something that's inside of you. That's what you really know. It's like we know about other people, but we're not sure always, you know. But when it's inside of us, we know. And that's Vyadaita, right? So that's the kind of knowledge we're talking about. And what is it that we have to know? The Hashem Hu Ha'elekim. So before we go inside to anything deeper than that, I just want to tell you very quickly, we know that there's many names of God, and these are the two most common names. And we know that the name Yud Ke Vav Ke, that first one, Hashem, that's the name of God that refers to Hashem as the one who is eternal, super rational, supernatural, the one who was, is, and will be, beyond time, beyond space, beyond any type of description. That's one thing. The other thing is that it's referring to God as a compassionate, merciful God, right? It's God that's beyond judgment, because he doesn't, so to speak, judgment is when you look at something and you measure, do they deserve, do they not deserve? So it goes into a, like you take into account all the details. Compassion, if you think about it, and kindness is like showering something upon somebody, regardless, they deserve it, they don't deserve it, you like them, you don't like them, yes today, yes tomorrow, right? So that's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of Chesed, of kindness, of God, which is supernatural. That's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name Elohim, on the other hand, is the God of nature. That's the God, as the truth is, that's the God that we really experience, that one that actually enclothes himself in nature, makes all the divisions in the world. That's how come we have different people. That's how come we have different species. That's how come we have different colors. That's how come we can have different definitions. That's the God that creates nature. That's Elohim. And you know, even in the numerical value, of Elohim is actually with a hey, it's the same numerical value as Hateva, the nature, because that's what it is. That's the God of, so to speak, of nature. Also known as the God of judgment. That's Gevura, that's judgment. Because judgment, although we think of it as harsh, it doesn't necessarily mean harsh. It means that you're taking into account all the details. Right, that's what it means. That's when you give somebody something that they deserve, it's because they've done A, B, and C. And for example, even if you have a certain amount of money, you can buy a certain amount of goods, right? That's just the way it works. That's, you know, so it's, in other words, it's limited, it's very definable. That's Elohim. So what does it mean when we say Hashem Hu Ha'elohim? What does that mean? This is something that as a Jew, we have to really internalize and know intimately, that although sometimes when we look around the world, both things, we look around and things look natural, and they are natural. And the truth is that 1 + 1 does equal 2. That's a fact. But as a Jew, we know that there's also another reality. And that reality is just as much the reality, which is that if Hashem decides 1 + 1 won't equal 2 today, well, then it won't equal 2 today. Because it was Hashem who made 1 + 1 equal 2. That's a silly example. But what that means for us is that everything that seems naturally possible or naturally impossible to a Jew, when we look at the world with the glasses that we're meant to, we understand it's not necessarily that way. I mean, we know, just as a simple thing, we know the fact that we are sitting here today is only because Hashem Hu Elohim, right? If it was up to nature, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be alive. We wouldn't be around. As Jews, we wouldn't be existing. There's nothing to talk about. And we see it so clearly now. So that's already. We don't even need to study it to understand that. But what we have to study and what we have to internalize is that's not just on a global level. That's on a personal level, that we have to realize that even though in our life we do have to live according to nature, so we do have to make plans, as we always say, we do have to, you know, we have to see it's raining, we put on a raincoat. Yeah, we do live that way. You know, you save up money, you have money. You don't, but at the same time, and with the same belief, literally, with the same, it should be as real to us, that no matter what we've put aside, or no matter the raincoat, you know, there was a saying about somebody, she was a very great tzaddikus, her name was Rebetzin Menucha Rachel. She moved from Russia to Hebron. She was from, people think about the Aliyah, that it was in the 1800s. These were the first Aliyahs in the late 1700s. They went from Russia, and they went and they moved, and she lived in, it was very harsh in Israel in those years, extremely harsh. And what's said about her was that she was such a great tzaddikus that when it rained, she used to walk between the raindrops. Whatever that means, she never got wet. She lived a miraculous life. She was a miraculous woman. It's an interesting thing, but as a Jew, we truly believe, and we do see it, we don't even sometimes have to believe it, that although we live according to nature, but we are not dictated by nature, Hashem hu elokim. It's the same God. He runs the world. And if he chooses that nature shouldn't be the thing that he runs the world by, that's not the mode today, it won't be how the world runs today. So we are all waiting for the miracles, it's true, and we've experienced, even everybody on some level has experienced something which is at least like a miracle, or at least we can say, which is something which we didn't expect, sometimes in the negative way, hopefully more in the positive way. In other words, sometimes a person can do everything right, you know, as we know, everything, and still it doesn't work out. We know. Why? Because we don't control, because Elokim is just Elokim. But it's Hashem who Elokim. It's God. And which kind of God? We're talking about the God which is super rational, which is supernatural. So that's what that phrase really means. And this is, as we know, one of the biggest fundamental beliefs that we are meant to live by. Not only know, but live and really internalize. Because that's the only way that we as Jews, first of all, exist. Second of all, can continue to serve Hashem in every circumstance. And this is the harder part of the pasuk, because sometimes it's nice when we talk to ourselves, we say, you know, even though it doesn't look like it's possible, it could happen, right? So like we say, it could happen, you know, like you look at somebody, even for example, whether it be with children or relatives, and we, like, what the trajectory looks like this is what it's going to lead to, right? But you can say to yourself, and we know that, we don't know, Hashem can do anything, right? Anything can turn out in any way. We don't know. So that's the nice part. However, there are times we know that it doesn't work that way, where it works the other way, where we put everything into place naturally, we do everything right, so to speak, and it just doesn't work, you know, it just doesn't, right, as we know, because Hashem runs the world. Ultimately, He runs the world. And this is the idea that chesed and din are both coming from the same God. And when He chooses, He will execute whichever way He wants to. So this is something part of our belief system to also acknowledge and also accept it. And that's a big part. To be able to accept it. To be able to live with it in the same, so to speak, how do you say, like equilibrium almost in a way, where when things don't work out the way we would have wanted them or the way it seems, and not only the way it seems, but as we say, the good that's revealed good, sometimes it isn't that way. But it's all coming from the same God. And as it's interesting, because just yesterday's Tanya talked about the concept that sometimes, and this is a hard thing, and we all want revealed good, and everybody should be blessed with only revealed good, good that we can really feel as good. But life isn't always that way. And it talks about how sometimes the greatest lights of Hashem, the highest revelations, when they come into this world, they don't actually, in a sense, they are not able to be felt in the blessing way. Sometimes they are felt in a more harsh way, because this world might not be able to cope with that great revelation. So we have to believe that everything comes from God, and that Hashem hu ha'elekim. That's really the basis of this pasuk. That's really what it's talking about. But the pasuk that we read first started, and it said, the second one, V'yadaita hayoyim, you should know today, right? What does it mean, you should know today? Why does it say it that way? What does it mean today? What might you think? Why does it say you should know today that, you know, that Hashem is, and there's only one God, and the heavens above, and the earth below, and there is no others? What's today? Why is he stressing you should know today? I mean, obviously, everything we're learning, we have to know every day. Every day, exactly. What's today? Okay, so I'll tell you in a minute, the Aruch Chaim goes to a beautiful idea. But before we do the Aruch Chaim, one of the biggest principles also in the Torah is not just to imagine, but to really feel that the Torah has been given today. The Torah is new every day. And this is a very beautiful thing. And the truth is, the only way to feel that is when we learn something in a deeper way. Because when we learn the layers and we see how much depth there is, and how much, like, you could learn something, you know, last year, you can learn something this year, and last year you thought, oh, I learned it so well, and now it's a whole new, and you realize the Torah is new. It is new because it's eternal, but more than eternal, it's actually, it's infinite. It's absolutely infinite. There is no beginning, no end. There's so many layers and there's so much depth. But even more than that, we have to picture, and we mentioned last night, it's a very interesting thing, that Hashem is giving us the Torah today. And we have to picture it, as if we're standing at Har Sinai, with all the thunder and lightning and all the sound effects, and we are receiving the Torah from anew. Why do we have to do that? Because that's what keeps the Torah from becoming something stale, so to speak, something old, something in a sense that you don't relate to, something that you don't, that doesn't energize you. The only way that it's going to give you energy is if you really picture God giving it to you today. And it is that way. And that's why in the bracha, in the morning, when we talk about Hashem giving us the Torah, it says, Noisein HaTorah. Noisein HaTorah is in the present tense. But Hashem gave us the Torah thousands of years ago. Why do we say it in the present tense? Because He's giving it to us every single day from anew. That's also why when we start our day, every single day, when we receive our neshama back, we do have to learn. You can't say, I learned yesterday, it's good enough. It doesn't work that way. First of all, it's a whole new Torah for you today. You're a whole new person. And I know we've given this example a million times, but it just works. Imagine if, I wish we could, but imagine if we could say, I ate yesterday, I don't have to eat today. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because we need to energize, everybody knows. Yesterday's food doesn't energize us today. How could we think that yesterday's Torah is going to energize us today? It doesn't work that way. Can't work. And that's the idea. Okay, so now I want to show you on the sheets that I handed out, the copies. Let's just look a little bit inside. This I know we did, and it's just so beautiful. This Ora Chaim gives us a few tips. How to make it real for us, how to keep it relevant, how to inspire ourselves constantly to realize that God, Hashem Hu Elokim, that there is one God, and that we should live our life for a higher purpose every single day. So the Ora Chaim gives a lot of ways. It's actually beautiful. And what's I find very, very beautiful, this is one thing I find just generally when I learn, is that certain parts talk to me more, you know, will talk to you more than another. Like, so if he gives, let's say, 10 different approaches, so you'll be able to at least relate to a few of them. And some of them will resonate more and some a little bit less, but there'll be at least one that you'll feel that you can take with you and remember. So let's see. Let's see what he says, and we'll see, hopefully. So he says like this. So if you look on that first sheet, V'yadaita hayayim, you see there's a line right near it, and he says, Tzarech ladas, we have to know, ma yediyas yayim yayimayim, what does this knowledge today more than yesterday, and what is he stressing you should know today? He says, ma yoshev elibay, what should you put on your heart? In other words, what should you focus on? What is this perspective? What is he telling you here? He says, V'ulay sheneskaven, perhaps he intends maybe he's giving us different tips how we can calm that negative voice, the Yetzer Hara, down, which is within us, how we can answer him or calm him or shush him up or put him away. What is it that we can tell him in order so that we live a life that is inspired every single day and recognizes that there is only one true existence in the world? Okay, so he gives a few things. He says, first of all, Al derech ayrim zachreinu levracha, like our rabbis teach us, im pagabach menuval zeh, this is a very interesting language. The language that's, I think it's from the Gemara, it says, if this menuval is actually quite it's like a harsh word, it's like this disgusting one, you know, that they use it. It's like somebody who, like, this despicable one. If the despicable one meets you, meaning the Yetzirah, if you're walking along and he starts to bother you, what should you do? So there's a few things what you should do with him. So he says like this, V'im lav, so first of all, he says V'chulo and etc. And we know what happens when he meets you. Unfortunately, he doesn't just leave you alone. You know how it is, some people are what we call nudniks, you know, like sometimes, I don't want to say God, maybe people are really good, but sometimes if you're in a rush and you're, I don't know, in Kohl's and you see somebody who has all the time in the world and loves to talk, and it's just like, oh my gosh, in your mind, you will love to see them, but I don't have time now for that. So, you know, sometimes it's like a nudnik. The Yetzer Hara is a real nudnik, and he won't leave you alone. And whatever you're going to say to him, he'll find a different thing, and he'll engage you just to get you, right? Because he tries. That's what he does. He works really hard. So he says like this. So what should we do? He says, if not, amru v'yadaita, amru v'yadaita, yitain b'daita hayayim hayadua. What should you do? So if you can't get rid of him, so he says like this. First of all, before that, one thing that, one tip, unfortunately, that might work. We don't always want to think of this one, though, because it's quite, it could be quite depressing. He says, remind him of the day of death. If you're not able to get rid of him, remind him that I'm not here forever. I don't have time for you. And, you know, there's going to come a day that I won't be in this world, and I don't have time to waste time with all the Nairish Titan that you're going to tell me. In other words, if the Yetzer Hara comes and tells you that you should bear resentment, you know, like, why didn't the other person call you? He was supposed to call you, he didn't call you. And why didn't he call you and starts nudging you? Just, it's not, it's, why, I can't, I don't have time to waste on that. Who knows if I'm going to be here tomorrow? Who has time? So that's one thing that we do tell the Yetzer Hara. Leave us alone. We don't have time for you. We don't know when our day, you know, how long we have in this world. He says, and with this, yenichna levava, his heart will be more humbled and more broken, as we say. V'hu aimer, that's why it says, v'yadaita, yitem b'daitai, hayoyim hayadua. That's why he says hayoyim. What does hayoyim mean? It doesn't mean today. It means remember that day. The day will come when you won't be in this world, and all these things, and you know, all the priorities will shift. So that's one sharp way, as he says. That's why he says Hayayim. Shehu Yayim Amisa, the day of death, Ubazeva Hashivei Salavecha. That will help you actually reflect on it and really put it into your heart. La Siga Alderech HaTayva Yashar. You'll really understand it properly. And also it says Levavcha, both hearts. Plural. Your Yetzahara and your Yetzer Tov. Because the truth is that this we're meant to remember for both things. On the one hand, not to worry about the silly things, not to dwell on the things that don't matter, and also to motivate us not to procrastinate. Sometimes, to do something good. Sometimes we say, I'll do it, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it in 20 minutes. Who says, right? Who says what will happen in 20 minutes? So therefore, this v'hashevoysa levavecha, you should put it on your heart the day that helps you both motivate you to do the good and to stay away from something which is negative. So that's the first tip. It's a bit of a harsh one. Let's see the second one. He says, Beis, Al derech ayim remzal, shela osid lavai, in the future, Yavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will come, and what will happen? Hashem will bring Hasatan v'sheichtai le'enei kol Yisrael. We're waiting for that day when he's going to take the Satan, which we know the Satan refers to all the negativity, both the Yetzirah and all the evil forces in the world, and he's actually going to slaughter it. We know that's going to happen. And he's going to do it in front of the eyes of all the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu says a person should remember that day that Hashem will actually draw out his sword, Charbai, and he's going to destroy the Samachmem, the Satan. And what that does is it actually weakens the negativity. Because the negativity itself becomes aware that it's only temporary. As we always say, good is eternal, bad is temporary. And when you picture the bad being cut up in front of you, well, that weakens that negative energy itself. So that's the next thing. That's what you have to remember. Remember that day. That's in a way a good thing. To picture that day when all the negativity will be destroyed. The third thing, Gimel, Oydir Tzashiyaskirloi, Hayayim HaGadol Shehu Yayim HaDin. This is also a little bit harsh, but remember the day of judgment. Everybody knows we will have a day of judgment, all of us. And Ma Yaseh Ki Yokum Kel, V'chi Yifkoid Ma Yishivenu. Like Hashem will remember every detail, everything we thought, everything we said, everything we did. And what are we going to answer him? And we know, sometimes it's small things, as we say, little resentments or frustrations, you know, and like we think, oh, why does it have to be this way? Or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And if we would just picture ourselves standing in front of Hashem, sometimes not even in front of Hashem, sometimes even in front of another person, right? We won't, like, we act so differently. We're sort of, somehow or other, we're all of a sudden more patient when there are other people around, right? And we don't let out our frustrations. So imagine if we could just think of that day of judgment and just think how we should behave. And does this really matter? Not only does it really matter, but how, it's just not us. And why would we lower ourselves to engage in this type of behavior? That also will set us immediately to try, at least, to have a different perspective at that moment. So another thing. The other thing he says, Lama, this is a very interesting one in Dalit, a very fascinating one. He says also the day, because it's talking about the day. What are you picturing about the day? So if you look at Dalit on that first column, Lama, Lama, sorry, Hachama Babaiker, Paneha Adumim, Olamba, right. So why is the sun so red in the morning? Whatever that means. So the it's a, like a poetic kind of thing. It says, what happens when you look at the sun? It's like fiery in the morning. What's the idea? Because it says, I think it says in the Kabbalah, it says something, Lefisha Iveres al Pischa shel Gehenim, because every morning the sun passes by as it's coming in a sort of, if you want to say rising, it passes by the opening of Gehenim. That's what it says, the hell, right? The gates of hell. And what happens? We know what's Gehenim. Gehenim, it's burning. There's a fire there. So it gets the fire from Gehenim. And when we start to see it, it has this red fiery look. So he says like this, if you would look at Hayyim, the day, which means the sun, and you remember, again, this is a bit of a harsh one. He says, you remember, so we're going to the second column. See, v'hu'ayim reviyadaita, he says, tein libcha ladas maisa hayoyim v'tira hakara b'shemesh ki yesh din la'ivrei ritzayne. So this way you remember what happens to people who transgress Hashem's laws. Okay, that's another one. Let's see, hey. Al derech ayimrim anshe emes. Shoyim, okay, he says, ki b'chinas hakadusha tikra yoyim. Generally speaking, holiness is referred to as day, as we say. Because it's light, it's clear, right, as we know. So we said, via daita, you should know hayoyim. So what are we meant to concentrate on? So he says a beautiful thing. Ubchinas hazares tikra laila, and all the negativity, that's called night. Valyide maisa adam, and through the actions of a person, yichached mibchinas hayoyim v'yiyah chelkoim b'midas laila. Sometimes a person can, if they choose, unfortunately, the wrong way, can choose to go away from daytime and unfortunately find himself in a very dark space. That's if he makes the wrong choices. So you can leave the day and go into the night. But the idea is, that's not what we want to do. We want to make ourselves in the space of day. So he says like this, how does that work? So he says, let's see, that's what David HaMelech says, mipachad laila, from the fear of the night, right? The fear of the night means the fear of that space that we refer to as night. V'hu aimram v'yadaita hayoyim peirush ishtadel adas midazu shenikreis hayoyim. So work hard to know, to actually know what is daytime. What does that mean to know what is daytime? It's very interesting. Because, you know, if we ask anybody, especially when you wake up in the morning, do you want to do good today? Obviously. You even ask a child, do you want to do the right? Of course, we want to be good. Of course, we want to be good. But so many times we make wrong choices. So why? Sometimes it's because we can't control ourselves. But sometimes because we don't know. We don't even realize we're doing the wrong thing. We're not aware. As we said, that's why we have to learn, so we know. So we have to, that's why he says, v'yadaita hayayim. If you want to choose day, the first thing is, you have to know it. You have to have clarity. You have to know what is day. And that's what the Aruch Hayim says, that's what it means. The Adaita, start learning and knowing and becoming aware, what is day? So you can make the right choices and you'll find yourself in the space of day. So that's a very important one also. That's via daita hayayim. And then he says, in Vav, al derech ayimim b'sefer hazayar, man inun marei chushbina. So this is a very beautiful one. We are all called people of accounting. And we always laugh that there are many Jewish accountants. The truth is, Jews are meant to be people of accounting. That's what we're meant to be. What does it mean that we're meant to be accounting? Accounting for what? Everything, ourselves and our time and our lives and all our good things that we're meant to be doing, right? That's what we're meant to be doing. And we all know there's the famous thing that before we go to sleep at night, as we know, we say Kriya Shema, and we are meant to actually reflect on that day. And Aruch Hayim says, that's why it says, V'yadaita hayoyim. Because Aruch Hayim says, we know we're people and we forget, especially the things that we don't do so amazing. We like to forget them. So like, let's say if we said something, we didn't mean it, but we said something that was a bit harsh to somebody or whatever it may be. We did something that wasn't 100%. We will forget if we don't make an accounting that day. That's why it says we adaita hayayim. Every day we should reflect on that day while the things are still fresh in our mind, so we can make a proper accounting, see what we can fix up the next day, what we can do better, or perhaps even if we need to apologize or whatever it may be. So we adaita hayayim every day. That's what he says. So we are all accounting people. And then he says, and another also beautiful thing he says about this. If a person will make an accounting every day. Not only does it mean that thing is fresh in your mind and you'll remember what you did right or wrong, but even more than that, a beautiful thing. When a person does something, this is just human nature again. It's interesting how, you know, when you learn all these mefarshim, I always find it incredible that it was written, this is written 400 or 500 years ago, but you would think that, like, in modern psychology, it would have been written today. Like, it's as if they've just discovered these things today. And I know this is just more simple, but still. He says, a person, we are all people, creatures of habit. Human beings are creatures of habit. So what happens is that we do something, and sometimes the first time we do something, we might actually feel a little bit uncomfortable with it. We know it's not the right thing to do, and we feel uncomfortable. But human nature is that you do it once, you do it twice, you do it three times, and then it's just you. You know, that's how you identify yourself. And that becomes you, as we say now, right? That's my identity. And then what happens is, it is so difficult to change. Almost, like, nothing's impossible, but much more difficult. So he says, imagine if every single day you reflect on that day and you realize you've done something you shouldn't have, or you've said something, you thought something, or you could have done better, whatever it may be, and you actually change it immediately, it is so much easier for you, so much more possible. It doesn't engrave, as we say, any pathways in your brain. It's a fascinating thing that they say, the neuroplasticity of the brain is that you can actually make new pathways. But what it means also is that there are certain pathways that we do engrave. Okay, we can always change, it's true, but it's much harder. So imagine if every single day, before something becomes engraved, before something becomes part of us, we realize and acknowledge, well, then what kind of people will we be? We'll be such good, in a sense, we'll be growing people. We'll be constantly growing people and better people. So that's also, that's how he says, a very beautiful idea. Again, via Daita Hayyim. So remember that you have to do it every single day. Okay, and then he says, in Zayin. In the Zayar it says, Ki Yayim Shah Nefesh Ba Me Olam HaElyon. This is also a beautiful idea that is expounded upon in Chassidus. He says, what day should we remember? Remember the day you were born. Okay, why? What's about the day you were born? Well, it's nice to remember your birthday sometimes, depending, I guess, at what stage in life or whatever it may be. But what happened on your birthday? The birthday was the day that the neshama came down into this world or whatever, joined the body. And we all know what it says, a beautiful idea. What does Hashem do before the neshama is sent down into this world? Because this neshama doesn't really want to go down to this world. It knows what it's facing. It doesn't, first of all, even before it knows what it's facing, just picture this for a moment. It's just like us. You know, when you have a child best example, you know, when you take your child the first day if they haven't gone to any babysitting, to the preschool, right? You watch children coming the first day. So the preschool is so full of toys and so exciting and such good teachers, but the child is absolutely beyond, right? Doesn't stop crying. Why? Doesn't want to separate from his mother. His mother saying goodbye. He's not interested in that. It's fine if his mother would stay with him, right? That would be wonderful. But his mother's not staying with him. The neshama is leaving, if you think about it, underneath Hashem's being in Hashem's presence. It's a similar thing. It's a massive separation. Massive. But it's not just a separation like a child going to kindergarten. Here the neshama is going to a place that is exactly the opposite of what it was used to a very challenging space, to a dark space, to a difficult space, to a space, as we know, which hides godliness. So imagine what that would mean. I mean, we don't want to imagine, but if you take a child and you put them into an environment which is abusive or neglectful, right? I mean, that's a disaster. Who wants that? And that's what's happening there. Because what the world does is denies God, which is really what that neshama is, a part of God. And that's where the neshama is going. So Hashem has to, as we said, that's why we're forced. It says, Al karchachata noilad. We are born forced. You know, Hashem has to force the neshama. But what does Hashem do? Because he's sending, so like a good parent, when the child goes to the preschool, sometimes they'll send them with like a stuffed doll or whatever, something that they have that comforts them, that gives them that comfort, that reminder of home, or smells like their home, or, you know, and they hold on to it. That's what Hashem does with the neshama as well. And it says, Hashem actually makes the neshama swear. That's what it says. We know the famous thing. It says, it explains in Tanya, but it's based It's based upon desire. Mashbi and Isai, the neshama is made to swear that it should be a tzaddik and it shouldn't be a rasha. What's the idea that it's made to swear? Sounds almost even harsher. Oh my gosh, not only am I sending you to school, but I'm making you promise you'll behave. No, that's not what it is. As we know, the word shvua in Hebrew doesn't just mean to swear. We say soiveya means to satiate. Hashem gives the neshama everything it needs, all the provisions that it needs, the strength to overcome all the challenges. And he tells the neshama, I'll be with you, and I'm going to give you, don't worry, you're not going like on your own, you're going with the strength that you need. And that's what the Aruch Hayim says, V'yadaita hayayim. Reflect back to the fact that even though now it doesn't feel that way, now it feels like Hashem is distant and that the world is what's real and that Hashem is what's not real and good is not real and bad is real, you know, and that's what has the upper hand. Reflect on the day you were born. Reflect upon the fact that Hashem made your neshama promise and gave your neshama the strength to overcome all the challenges that you're facing. And if you reflect upon that, the challenges that you are facing at this moment, it doesn't go away, but it makes it much more possible. You realize you do have the strength. You have the ability. So that's V'yadaita hayayim. I know this all, it's actually quite incredible, although it's different layers, but I think that some of it just, it's so real in a sense, how the Aruch Hayim describes what our life is, because it's every moment. That's also the interesting thing about Yiddishkeit. We know, you know, we say, like we said before, you don't eat yesterday, you have to eat today. But it's not just with the good. Unfortunately or fortunately, as long as a person is alive, they're full of, life is full of challenges. And no matter what we feel, like a lot of times we feel like, I've done this already, you know, I've worked on myself, I've overcome it, and it still comes to nag you. You know, sometimes it's quite discouraging because you think, I should be better than that already. Why do I still have that feeling? And we still do. Because that's how Hashem made it. Hashem designed it that way. That our life is actually meant to be, in a way, a life of struggle. Hashem actually, as Tanya explains, for some, we're getting to those chapters in Tanya. For whatever reason, he actually has pleasure. It's not a bad pleasure, but he has pleasure from the fact that we are working hard and achieving something. The best way to understand it is when you look at, like, you know how when a child is trying to learn how to ride a bike? And it's hard. I actually, as a mother, sometimes I don't like to look because they fall, they hurt themselves. But the truth is that it's actually incredible to watch the bravery and how they keep getting on that bike and keep on trying, even though they keep on falling. And there's such a pride in a parent when they see that the child doesn't give up, keeps going, even though they just scrape their knee, but they keep going. Where it's like a toddler when they start walking and they keep falling, but they keep getting up. There's nothing more exciting for a parent than to see the child working hard and achieving that result, even when they only achieve a little bit. So to the child, like, you know, if you think about a toddler, now people say this, we don't know exactly how a toddler looks at the world, but we do know, like, you know this famous thing that if you go back to a childhood home, it looks so much smaller than what you remember it, right? Because to children, things look so much different. So in a child's eyes, perhaps, you know, when they walk or when they start taking steps, they look at parents who are able to run, right? And they can't run yet. But doesn't matter to a parent when they look at the child. The fact that the child took two steps is amazing. That's the same way that Hashem looks at us. We have to realize that our two steps are amazing. One step is amazing. Get up even holding on is amazing. And that's how we have to realize. So that's the idea also that we reflect upon every single day. Okay, then he goes one or two more. He says like this, there's a few more. Olam Hazeh. Okay, so also this world is called night. This is also a powerful one. He says like this, that, this world is called night and the world to come is called day. So what are you supposed to reflect upon when it says reflecting upon day? This is a hard one. He says, this is the one that I think that all of us have experienced now even more. You know, when you look around in the world, sometimes it's quite discouraging. What's one of the things that is discouraging? It's not only discouraging that we try hard and we don't seem to succeed, but one of the very big discouraging things in this world is that if you look around, it doesn't look like there's justice in this world. It looks like the people who are not living such good lives, they seem to be flourishing. Like even, I don't know if this is a good example, but sometimes, you know, you look at, let's say, a country, I don't know, like Saudi Arabia, and it's so wealthy. And you think, why is it that a country that, I mean, I'm just picking an example, but a country or that's so bad? Why are they flourishing? You know, why is it that some people whose lives, or some people even on a simpler level, they seem to be living such self-absorbed lives, and yet they have everything, and everything seems wonderful. And then there are people who literally give of themselves, the best people, and they have one tzara after another, after another, after another. Fact is, that's the way it is. It is like that. We don't understand anything, as we know, and sometimes it really looks like there's no rhyme or reason. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the only way for us to lift ourselves above that is to realize something, that there isn't one world, but there's two worlds, meaning to say that we have tunnel vision. We are only seeing a very small part of the story. Now, obviously, we're not saying this to somebody else, we're talking to ourselves here. So when we look at our own lives and we reflect and we think, you know, it's enough, and we do want Hashem to, as we say, always should be revealed good. But if life isn't so amazing, you know, sometimes we are full of challenges, we have to realize that we are seeing only a small sliver. We are only seeing Hayyim, today, which means, but actually the truth is that Aruch Haim says we should look at today. Today meaning Hayyim, the day meaning the world to come. And we should realize that sometimes we're only seeing the little bit of night. You know, and it's only a small portion of the 24 hours. And if you would broaden your horizons and look at the a bigger perspective, you would realize, not that you can see it because we can't, but that there's more to the story. And that sometimes helps settle a little bit. Obviously, it's not enough because it's hard to suffer. And it's hard to see other people suffering. And we don't want that ever. But it's just sometimes it's the only way when things aren't going right that we do have to acknowledge that we have to remember that there is a day that is coming. And now we are only seeing a sliver, and it's possibly looks like and is night. Yes, Sylvia.
If someone was in Auschwitz and there was nothing, could he actually say, Hashem Ruha Elokim?
Yeah, so that's a good, yeah. So you know, Sylvia, I don't blame anybody who didn't. That's for sure. But yeah, 100%. But there, for some reason, there were some, and I don't know how. Like the famous, there's the beautiful stories of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. I mean, there are others also, but there's the Kleisenberger Rebbe who went through the camps. I mean, the stories are horrific because he was, I think, Romania. He was from. Anyways, he. I've lost a wife and 11 children. I mean, it's just on a level beyond. He rebuilt his life afterwards. He remarried, and he had, I don't know, a bunch of children after, and he built up a whole... But he does talk about it, and obviously he's not on our level. But I don't know. It says he didn't even eat meat. He wouldn't eat unkosher. He like tried so hard. And after the war, what was amazing was how encouraging he was of others. It describes him in the DP camps and how he would embrace everybody. It doesn't matter what their, you know, what they thought and how they looked at Hashem. He was so embracing of everybody. He was so non-judgmental. But he kept up that hayyim in his mind. He saw the light. I don't know. It's super, I don't know. But you know what, Sylvia? The truth is, those people, I don't know how they did it. I don't know. But I think of sometimes in our own lives, and our own lives could also be difficult, I'm not saying. But I think more, that's really the message for us, is that we have to look at our lives, that we just have to put ourselves into that perspective of Hashem Hu Aleichem. And I think that's the bigger one. You know, I saw I don't know exactly how it goes. It was a beautiful saying. It was something about, it said there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that we are haragnu kol hayayim, we are killed a whole day. It's a harsh pasuk. David HaMelech is talking about how sometimes, as we know throughout history, unfortunately, we have just experienced that people are killed because they're Jewish. And so that's what we call Mesiras Nefesh, right? Kiddush Hashem. Horrible. So, but there's a question on that pasuk, because David HaMelech says a whole day. He says a person can be unfortunately put to death, but they're put to death once. I mean, once they're put to death, they're gone, right? That's it. It's one time. So what does it mean a whole day? So he says that's referring to not the people who are put to death, but the people who are left behind. That's very challenging, right? So the people are left behind. So now what are we supposed to do? So he says that if a person is able, and it's actually quite incredible, if a person is able, the people who are left behind, who have been affected and lost somebody, if they are able to, and I just want to finish what I'm saying so you understand, to look at Hashem and say that I don't understand, and say that Hashem is good, he says that's the same level of Mesiras Nefesh, which actually, it's like you are dying for Hashem, which shows how difficult it is. It is so difficult to have bitachon, to have that level of bitachon, to say that whatever, we don't understand, and that Hashem is good and does good, whatever that means. I'm talking for ourselves. I'm not talking to say this to anybody who's suffering. I'm talking for our own self. If a person can train themselves to think that way, he says that they are, so to speak, almost dying for Hashem all day. That's how difficult it is. And that's what David HaMelech is acknowledging. That for us to be able to concentrate and to focus on the day when things are so night is so challenging. So in a way, that's comforting for us to know that it is very difficult, and that whenever we can do it even for a moment, it's even something. And to try, as we say, strive. And to also realize that when we do that, to those people who have left, that it actually gives them strength. And it gives them the ability to remain connected, so to speak, and to give the brachas that they want to give upon the people that are left behind. Because as we know, I mean, this is another, it's not really so connected, but another thing that I remember once somebody asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, that I think they lost their mother very young. And the Rebbe said that if you picture, the one thing that your mother doesn't want is to see you crying all day, because that hurts her. So if you can at least try, even though it's so difficult, to give yourself that lift, even just for the sake of the other person, sometimes that also gives you that strength to try, at least to try, because it's so, so, so difficult. Anyways, but these things, as we say, we don't say to any, it's not, I'm not saying this, you know, this is, we talk to ourselves, because Hashem should just give everybody strength and only good thing, really, only good things for everybody. So as you say, we don't know. If a person's in the camps and can't say it, they can't. That's just the way it is. But for us, we have to try our hardest. And especially when things are, in a way almost, it's when things are going well. It's like, you know, you do exercise. You know, sometimes people say, if you have to have a procedure or an operation, or say, if you're stronger before, then you'll come out better after. So in a sense, also, it's flexing our muscles now. So like, in other words, when a person is having a decent time in their life, that's the time to actually, yes, learn more. And the time to, yes, strengthen themselves. So that when the hard times come, it's they are stronger and able to bear more. That's the way it is. I want to just finish the last few things. I know, I'm so sorry we did just one thing today, but one or two more ideas that he mentions. Also, a beautiful one, he says, what is Hayoim, the day? The day is referring to the day that Hashem gave us the Torah. Hayoim, that's the day, so that's what we have to remember all the time. And then when we remember that, that also puts us in perspective of what we're meant to be doing. And another Hayoim is that we have to remember the day of Shabbos. Why? What's Shabbos? And it's a beautiful one. We say that on Shabbos, Hashem forgives us for all our sins. And why should we remember that? Because sometimes, you know, this is like the flip side of all the other harsh ones we were saying. Sometimes a person can do something, and they can do something, and it becomes a habit, and it becomes very, very difficult, and they become discouraged. So a person says, I can't change. It's me. That's it. Accept me for what I am. Finished. That's it. So we say, no, no, no. Just remember Hayyim. Remember that Hashem does forgive. That there are times that Hashem wipes the slate clean. In other words, as long as you're alive, you have the opportunity to do tshuva. That's why Shabbos is the same letters as Tashav, tshuva. That's what it is. But it's a higher level of tshuva. It's a level of tshuva where Hashem lifts your neshama to a higher plane and things seem so much clearer. And then you make the right choices. You know, it's a much more clarity kind. It's a tshuva from love. So when we remember that, it also gives us the strength and the inspiration that we should keep on trying every single day that to internalize Hashem hu ha'elekim. So that's really the basic idea of what he says.